Good afternoon. The House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development will come to order. There's a crowd in the room. We must have some things to do. We're going to try to move quickly through as many bills as we can, recognizing the time constraints, and try to take care first of some of the easy ones that should be quick to get out of here. Some announcements first. 2162 and 3532 will not be heard today. 2344 also will not be heard. We're advised that that issue is being taken up in some other committees. And 2007 will also not be heard today. Representative Benz, did you want to say something about that?
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it's an unhappy moment for me that 2007 cannot be heard. I know the folks working on it were diligent and trying to bring a bunch of different interest groups together on it. One of the elements of my support of the bill was that the DEQ would be in support of 2007, and as they worked their way through different amendments, DEQ could still not get on board. And so for that reason, absent that agreement, 2007 failed the support test for my purposes and the arrangements I've made with my co-chair, so that is the reason it's not being heard. I do appreciate, though, the hard work that has been done, and more to the point, I appreciate the need for the bill. And so my hope is that the folks will continue to work, and we will be back in this building in about 8 months, I'm sure, and maybe it's 10, but we'll be back, and I would very much encourage the folks to continue their work, because this variance process that that bill reflects is hugely necessary and I think essential to the steps forward we're going to want to take under the Clean Water Act at the federal level, and of course the statutory framework at the state level. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I join my co-chair in those comments and appreciate all the work that has gone in to the bill. I hope that it will continue and that we'll have a chance to take that up again. So we'll get started now. Open a work session on House Bill 2727. Zach?
House Bill 2727. Establishes the Oregon Fund for Energy, Jobs, and Innovation.
And committee members, we have a Dash 5 amendment. This was my bill, so I'll take a moment just to explain what happened and what I hope we'll do with this bill. As you remember, in our last meeting, we sent some opportunities to update the components of the Betsy onto another committee. This is a bill that I introduced a while ago for a different purpose, but it has what I think could be a useful relating to clause, clean energy economic development, and given the complexity and difficulty of the discussions that we've been having around the Betsy components, it's my hope that we might be able to move this to the Joint Tax Credit Committee so that it is there available as another option if we should need it when it comes to the Betsy discussions. So the Dash 5 amendment, I've never done this before, but essentially creates a shell that we might use at a future time. So the Dash 5 amendments are what I'm hoping we might do. Representative Benz?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendment stated 41811.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved to adopt the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2727 dated April 18, 2011. Is there discussion? Representative Lindsay.
Mr. Chair, can we have a three-minute recess, please?
Okay. I'll stand in recess for 3 minutes.
Thanks.
I have the dash five twice.
Debbie, we're ready. Maybe we'll come back to order. Representative Benz has moved the dash five amendments to House Bill 2727, and we were ready for discussion, if there is any. Doesn't Representative Smith?
Oh. Yeah. Is our purpose to get joint tax credits a vehicle with which they can do? I guess I am confused. And I'm hoping for further explanation. And I could try to craft a sensible question, but it's probably more candid just to say I'm confused.
Okay. My intention is to send a bill that has a relating to clause that's clean energy economic development to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits. There are a number of things there that are related to economic development, and certainly the three components of the of what is currently the Betsy. If they get there, that would be their final stop before going to the floor. We've already seen a number of complicating questions and issues. It's my judgment that it would be helpful to have another vehicle. There might be a reason to put a sub-component of one of those things. We heard some testimony about the importance of transit in the conservation Betsy. It's another opportunity that we might want to use. We might not either. That's the sole and complete interest I have in moving it.
Thanks.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just sending a blank bill, or basically a blank check. I'm hesitant on doing that. I'll be no, just for the record, so people know that I do have some concern with it, because I think policy issues we should be taking up here, and if that was something we were going to do, we should have handled the transit issue a long time ago and been sending a bill with that in it, not just sending something for tax credits to do with what they want. So I will be a no on this.
Thank you. Further discussion? I don't see any. Representative Nathanson.
I will support this. I think it's a good idea to have the flexibility to continue discussion. It doesn't mean that a small group of people, one committee, has the only say. It does then come to the full legislature for action. But hearing what you said a couple of minutes ago, Mr. Chair, I'm anticipating, in addition to having a Jenny, a Manny, and a Connie, we may have a tranny.
Possible. It's possible. Thank you. With Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Wow.
What did you say? That was funny?
I just never thought I'd heard that word come out of Representative
Nathan. It's going to be a long hearing, Representative.
Just to clarify, so this motion is to adopt the dash fives and then to move it with all the other Betsys to the Tax Credits Committee. Correct?
You've got part of that right. The first motion is just on the dash five. There will be a subsequent motion following that.
Correct. To move to the Tax Credit Committee.
Yes.
And I understand both co-chairs sit on the Tax Credit Committee, correct? And all other Betsys have gone to the Tax Credit Committee.
Not yet.
No, they went to Revenue. Well,
okay.
Will, if they go that far, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Widener?
No.
Representative Smith?
8 minutes, yes.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Representative Lindsay?
No.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
No.
Chair Vance?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2727 as amended be moved to the Joint Tax Committee without recommendation.
Thank you.
And Zach, does that need to be said?
This has no fiscal, so it does not need to go to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved House Bill 2727 as amended to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits without recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Smith.
Yeah, I might be a no on this one, on this motion. My understanding was that we moved the other Betsy vehicles to revenue.
True.
And I might be misremembering that, but I want to be, you know, it would seem to, if the purpose of this is to be a part of the Betsy conversation, it would seem to move it in revenue. I do have some of the same concerns about where some of the discussions, you know, are we having discussions in policy committees? And so I would support a motion to move it along with those based on yours, but at this point I'm not really comfortable moving it to a committee where the others aren't.
And Representative Smith, remember, too, that the Betsy components, if they go farther, will go to the Joint Tax Credit Committee.
That I understand.
Representative Beyer, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I must admit that I, too, have reservations, but sending something out of this committee without a recommendation is a little problematic. I'll support it, but I do have a suggestion that after we're done with our work here, I would guess the Joint Committee on Tax Credit is going to be the hottest show in town, and as a funding mechanism, we could sell tickets to that committee.
It's a good suggestion, Representative Beyer. It might be a little late for a bill today, but perhaps we can suggest that. Appreciate the suggestion. Further discussion, Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you'll help me remember as well, did the other Betsys have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
No.
If not, okay. And how about, would there be any objection? I'm talking to the members of the panel now. Would there be any objections of amending this motion to have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
Representative Lindsay, I would be uncomfortable with that, given that the point of it is to simply have another vehicle. We don't know what it says. So putting a Ways and Means referral on it, which I'm not sure that we could do as a prior reference anyway in advance. I think that would be the next committee that would probably have to do that if they judged that they wanted to do that. But I'm not sure there would be reason to put Ways and Means referral on it without some indication that it's going to cost money. Especially given the fact that all the other bills that have spent any money have been sent to Ways and Means. Many have heard my story of woe that an $8,000 fiscal on a bill that I have that's not even public money is in Ways and Means. So I think you can feel confident that if it does spend money, it will go to Ways and Means if it does end up spending money. Representative Sheehan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to agree with Representative Widener on this one. If we're the policy committee, and if we've failed at this point to define what that policy is, then I'm not comfortable passing that off to another committee to make that definition.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I don't see any.
I have a procedural question.
Representative Smith.
If this motion were to fail, is a motion in order to send it to revenue along with the other Betsy bills?
I believe that's true, yes.
Great.
Given that, let me stand at ease for just a moment.
Discussion thus far, I'm going to withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
You want to make a motion?
Yes.
Committed to. I'd like to move that House Bill 2727 be moved to the House Committee on Revenue without recommendation.
Representative Smith moves House Bill 2727 as amended to the Committee on Revenue without recommendation. Is there further discussion? I don't see it. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be supporting this. I think it's appropriate form if the intent was to be with the other ones and work with the other ones. I can support sending it to revenue to have it looked at. Then it'll probably end up with subsequent referral to Ways and Means at some point, but at least it's staying with the vehicles it's intended for.
I think it would be difficult to anticipate whether it's going to go to Ways and Means, given that the criticism thus far has been that we don't know what's in it. So
yeah.
It's hard to imagine that suddenly we do now know what its fate is going to be. Is there any objection to the motion? Representative Lindsay.
I was out for a second. Could you just restate what the motion is? I apologize.
The motion is now to send it to revenue without recommendation.
Okay.
Representative Sheehan.
Yes, I have to object to the same reason as before. I don't want to send a blank bill.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Lindsay?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
No.
Chair Vance?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. House Bill 2727 is referred to the Committee on Revenue without recommendation. Ladies and gentlemen, we've managed one bill in 15 minutes. We're going to open temporarily a public hearing on House Bill 3613 in order to accommodate someone whose schedule is at the window in which it's closing. So a public hearing. Who did you say it was, Mr. Chair?
Brett. I think I just know his first name.
Okay.
Is he here?
Is Brett here?
Brownsville? Yes, right there.
Please come forward, and Zach, if you could give us a summary while he's getting settled.
House Bill 3613 provides the State Department of Agriculture water quality management plans and supporting rules and programs of departments.
Go ahead.
Public body means to protect and improve water quality through agricultural practice regulations regarding non-point sources of pollution.
Mr. Chair, we'll have some more remarks on this in just a minute, but just to give our witness a brief, because we're calling him a little bit out of his voice, he was to have actually, he's here sitting in for Richard Whitman, if I'm right, the Natural Resources Advisor for the Governor's Office, who could not be here. And his primary purpose today is simply to, I hope, say that that Mr. Whitman and the office is in favor of the bill. And
looks like he's been joined by someone else too. So
yes. So with that said, let him proceed,
please.
Co-Chair Benz, thank you, and Co-Chair Reed. My name is Brett Brownscombe. I recently started as the Governor's Deputy Natural Resource Policy Advisor, and that is correct. Richard Whitman had to leave on short leave, so thank you for accommodating tight scheduling today. Briefly, so I'm joined by Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture, and we've been working, we meaning Richard in the Governor's Office, has been working with the Department of Agriculture and Environmental Quality on the non-point source issue and concerns around this bill, and the Dash 4 amendments are a result of that work. We are in support of the bill with those Dash 4 amendments, and the Departments of Environmental Quality and Agriculture have drafted a joint letter to the speaking to those discussions and the Dash 4 amendments. So, short statement, I realize, but I wanted to be here today to represent the Governor's support for the bill with the Dash 4 amendments.
Thank you. Ms. Gobert, did you want to say anything?
Mr. Co-Chair.
You're an uninvited guest today.
Yes,
so
I am.
Go ahead, please.
Both Director Peterson and I did sign up to testify. Just wanted to make sure, in case there were questions of Brett or the two agencies that we were here, we're certainly willing to come back up after your other witnesses.
And we intend to invite you back up. Thank you. Are there questions? Dear Representative Nathanson?
No, I'm going to hold my question for later. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions? No, Representative Betts.
No, thank you. Just to say thank you for coming over on such short notice. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So we'll leave the public hearing on House Bill 3613 open and return to it as we continue to get the rest of our bills done. So with that, open a work session on House Bill 3507. Zach.
House Bill 3507 authorizes the Oregon Innovation Council to make grants and loans to provide gap funding and seed capital from the Oregon Innovation Fund to Oregon emerging businesses.
Thank you. This, again, luck of the draw. A bill that I've been working on comes up while I have the gavel, so I'll explain it briefly and then explain what I hope will happen. You may recall our initial hearing on this bill, we were talking about the Oregon Innovation Council, and one of the problems I think the Oregon Innovation Council has in its lack of dedicated stable funding that makes it harder for the council to hire the top talent it needs and to involve the public sector, or the private sector, I should say, as much as we would all like. So my initial interest in pursuing the bill was in finding some of those options for funding. It's disappointing to me that we're not able to gather the sufficient consensus on that mechanism, but the bill in its amended form, I intend to offer the Dash 5 amendments momentarily, it fixes a couple of things that Oregon Inc. has been doing in recent years by making it more explicitly permissive and more up-to-date in the amendments, and it strips out what was in the bill related to a funding mechanism. The positive news from the work that we've been doing on this is that there is, I think, acknowledged interest in finding ways to fund innovation, particularly research and development and the commercialization that Oregon Inc. does, and I've been pleased that the stakeholders have been willing to engage in that discussion. I think it's certainly my intent to continue those discussions and try to find something that will work for most people. But in the meantime, the Dash 5 amendments remove that funding piece and create a, for lack of a more descriptive term, a bucket into which funding can go, whether it's general fund, lottery fund, private donations, some other funding mechanism that we might identify in the future, and corrects some of those technical definitions and procedures that we're going to engage in. So that's the story on 3507. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments stated 4-4 of 11.
Thank you. Representative Benz moves the Dash 5 amendments, House Bill 3507, dated April 4th, 2011. Is there discussion? Representative Smith.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I do applaud your work on this, and I want to say something to the bill, but I do hope that we're able to work on something to find a revenue stream, and I'll be supporting the amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the Dash 5s here, dated April 4. I don't recall receiving them before, I believe, yesterday. Is that correct?
Honestly, I don't. I couldn't answer that. That may well be true.
So, again, this is the first time I'm seeing them, although it was dated April 4th.
My apologies.
I'll have to find out to confirm what my understanding is and how it got here, but if it were dated April 4th and we just got it yesterday, it would have been nice to see it a lot sooner than today. Question is, I've just briefly scanned through the Dash 5, and I see that the energy supplier assessment is still open there. Is that correct in the Dash 5?
Representative Lindsay, I don't think so. Could you point to where that is?
I thought I saw an empty line here. And again, this is...
Understood.
15-something pages, and I was skimming through it. Can you just answer on the record whether the energy supplier assessment is still in this or not?
Well, given the fact that you just said that it is, apparently not. It's not my intent that be part of this amendment.
Okay. I guess my comments would be until I know for sure whether that's in the actual text or not. And apparently no one knows right now. I don't know if someone's in here that can testify to that or someone who did that, Dash 5. I guess I can't vote for something that I don't have an answer to on that yet.
Representative Lindsay, I can say with, it's very hard to prove a negative. I can say with great confidence that we went through a number of discussions and a number of drafts. This is the Dash 5, of course. That it was clear in our intent, our request to Legislative Council, that the energy supplier assessment be removed from this amendment.
Thank you.
Are you comfortable moving forward?
Yeah, I'm comfortable moving forward. I'll make up my mind here whether I'm going to vote yes or no on the amendment, but that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So the motion is on the Dash 5 amendments. Is there further discussion? I don't see any. I guess we'd better have a roll call vote, please.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Representative Lindsay?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
Yes.
Chair Vance?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. The Dash 5 amendments are adopted. Representative Vance.
Mr. Chair, I move the HB 3507 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation by prior reference.
Representative Representative Bentz moves House Bill 3507 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. On the discussion, I have to say that's a surprise to me given that we'd sought to take a fiscal out of it. I will have to do some further investigation. Is there further discussion? Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I just want to applaud you. I'm going to applaud the chair of this committee for your work on advancing the knowledge economy, advancing innovation, Oregon Inc., with greater vigor than anyone I know in this chamber, and more specifically on this bill. I'll support this bill and hope to support your work going forward.
Thank you. Further discussion? Don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion? Don't see any. Motion is adopted. House Bill 3507 is amended. Goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation on the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Close work session on House Bill 3507. Open a work session on House Bill 3055. Zach.
3055 creates the State Agency Innovation Board and the State Agency Innovation Fund.
Thank you. We have some amendments, I think. Is that true?
Yeah, the gospel.
Okay. Through stacks to find them. Is there anyone here to speak to those amendments, or perhaps could you summarize those, Zach, once we all find them?
I believe it replaces the bill.
Okay. So, colleagues, you'll recall that this is the bill we heard from Representative Hunt, Representative Comp, and it allows agencies that identify savings to retain 10% of those savings, the rest back to the general fund. I believe it also has a sunset on it now as a result of the amendment. So I have the dash four amendments. Ben Bentz?
Chair Reed, I move the committee adopt the dash four amendments stated 4-18-11.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves the dash four amendments dated April 18, 2011. Is there discussion? Don't see any. Is there any objection? Don't see any. The amendments are adopted. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3055 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation by prior reference.
Thank you. Representative Bentz has moved House Bill 3055 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation and on to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Representative Widener.
I appreciate Representative Hunt for bringing this bill forward. This actually is something we probably should have done a long time ago, and hopefully when the sunset comes around, we find out that it saved the state a tremendous amount of money and streamlined efficiencies for the state. So I'm proud to support this bill.
Thank you. For the discussion? Not seeing. Is there any objection to the motion? Don't see any. So do I need to just to reconsider?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to amend my motion if that's possible.
Yes, please.
I understand the proper motion would have been to move House Bill 3055 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. We've discovered that we do not have a fiscal impact with the dash four amendments, so it can go to the floor without a Ways and Means stop. So motion now, based on Representative Bentz's amendment to his own motion, do we need to vote on your amendment or just? Let's take it. Is there any objection? I'll ask for unanimous consent to Representative Bentz's amendment to his own motion. Is there any objection to him amending his motion? I don't see any.
I have no objection. I do have a question.
Representative Smith.
The referral might have been, I know that there is a work group working on sort of all the performance stuff, progress board, et cetera, and I know that the Senate side co-chair, I don't have an extra grind, but that the Senate side co-chair had asked that stuff.
On this, right?
Yeah. Never have an objection. Had asked that that stuff happen in Ways and Means and that there's going to be work group working on it. I don't know if that would apply to this or not, but it is within this category. I'll support what the chairs want to do, but I'll offer that piece of information.
Okay. So no objections to the amendment that Representative Bentz offers to his own motion. So the motion now is to move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of that motion? Representative Widener.
I forgot to mention Representative Kopp as well in that, so because Representative Kopp didn't come forward and speak and was probably a very strong proponent for doing this, so I'm glad that they brought this bill to us.
Thank you. Further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? I don't see. Motion is adopted. House Bill 3055 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll ask Representative Hunt and Representative Kopp to carry the bill. And that will close the work session. Are we okay?
Yeah.
We'll close the work session on House Bill 3055 and open work session on House Bill 3591. Sorry.
House Bill 3591 requires the Department of Environmental Quality to consult with an applicant regarding Federal Water Pollution Control Act variances in order to seek to minimize the economic impact of the variances.
Thank you. And we have some amendments on this as well, I think.
B-2.
Okay. Is that the only one?
Yes.
Okay. Here. And Representative Smith, you had something to do with this amendment, correct?
I am happy to speak to it, Mr. Chair.
Please do.
So Representative Conger wasn't able to be as another committee at this point, at this time of the day, brought this bill, and he, in really good faith, want to applaud him, worked to make really clear that the intent was to, not undermine any important standards, but to create a good optic through which implementers should view it. And the bill does a pretty simple thing, and with the amendment that he put in, which I think was previously had been offered as a potential whereas statement by a few people, a few advocates working on the bill. He put in the amendment to put it in the body, and I agreed to co-sponsor the bill with him, and I really appreciate his work on it.
Thank you. Further discussion? Don't see any. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee adopt the -2 amendments stated 418-011.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves the -2 amendments to House Bill 3591. Date April 18th, 2011. Is there any discussion? Not seeing any. Is there any objection? Not seeing any. The motion carries. The -2 amendments are adopted to House Bill 3591. Representative Bentz.
Chair, I move the House Bill 3591 as amended, move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves House Bill 3591 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? I don't see any. House Bill 3591 goes to the floor with the passed recommendation. We'll ask Representative Conger to carry since it's his bill. Close the work session on House Bill 3591. And open a work session on House Bill 2370. Zach.
House Bill 2370 requires the political subdivision to give the Department of Transportation at least 30 days notice of intent to sell or transfer real property near rail infrastructure. We have a -4 amendment, and it's from Representative Nathanson.
Representative Nathanson, would you like to, you can go around or you can stay there, whichever you prefer, and tell us about the amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll stay just because it saves us an extra half minute.
Sounds good.
I hope. This latest amendment was developed working with many parties, League of Oregon Cities, some specific cities, TriMet, a major Class 1 rail. The amendment does several things. It incorporates changes to clarify the position of private rail providers. It removes any reference to leases. It establishes department rulemaking authority. It exempts light rail. It changes some specific wording about 30 days before offering to 30 days before listing or placing. And most significantly, it also removes the right of first refusal or the first opportunity to acquire. So this bill now is simply a notification and communication bill to get us on the right track, so to speak, so that parties are aware when significant parcels that might be useful to one of the rail lines for expansion is becoming available. So, again, it's clarifications. We worked with many of the different parties, and we think that it's all squared away and ready for you.
Thank you very much. Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to congratulate Representative Nathanson for her hard work on this. I did have some serious concerns about the right of first refusal. Those concerns have been resolved, and I'll be supporting the bill.
Thank you very much. Further discussion? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quick, Representative Nathanson, I know you put a lot of time and effort into this, and You caught me when I was sitting in traffic one day when probably wasn't a good time to call me for a rail bill.
Or maybe it was.
Probably wasn't that day. So.
Okay.
Is this going to hold up the sale process whatsoever? Were those concerns brought up? Do they have to wait a 30-day period or everything? It's just right of first refusal still sits in place. There's 30-day notice that this is available.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, there is no right of first refusal or first opportunity to acquire anymore. It's strictly notification. It delineates public bodies must notify ODOT of an intent to sell. We clarified the wording about what it means to prepare for sale. And then ODOT just lets them know whether it looks like they're interested or someone else might be interested. It also makes sure that ODOT will notify the rail providers, the private rail providers, that this property looks like it might be sold or otherwise disposed of, so that the rail providers have an opportunity to take a look at it. But it's just notification only.
Thank you. I appreciate all your hard work. You did a very good job.
Is there further discussion? I don't see any. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee adopt the dash four amendment stated April 15th, 2011.
Thank you. And I've now confused myself here. There they are. Representative Bentz has moved the dash four amendments to House Bill 2370 dated April 15th, 2011. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? I don't see any. Motion carries. Dash four amendments are adopted. Representative Bentz. Well, stand at ease for just a moment.
Mr. Chair, I move that we suspend the rules to allow this bill to pass without some of the necessary paperwork. I hope that's stated correctly.
Yeah, we have permission from both leaderships to do this, and we're missing the fiscal statement. It is due anytime.
Thank you. Representative Bentz has moved to suspend the rules for the purposes of passing House Bill 2370 to the floor without all of the necessary paperwork. This is a rare privilege, Representative Nathan. This seems only to occur on the deadline day. We need to have that passage before we can move the bill without the necessary paperwork. Is there any objection to that motion? I don't see any. The rules are suspended. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2370 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves House Bill 2370 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? See, is there any objection? I don't see any. House Bill 2370 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's see who should carry it. Representative Nathanson, would you like to carry your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, yes.
Representative Nathanson will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2370.
Yeah.
We'll open a work session on House Bill 2524. Zach.
House Bill 2524 renews the energy tax credits for alternative energy vehicles and infrastructure projects relating to alternatively fueled vehicles through 2018.
And this bill has a subsequent referral to joint tax credits. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we have an amendment. Is Mr. Bates here? There he is. Would you like to describe the Dash 1 amendment? I think that one's one that you worked on.
Chair Reed, Chair Bentz, members of the committee, Dan Bates, representing Equitality and Revolt. There are two amendments, the Dash 1 and the Dash 2, both of which have different market indicators for when this sunset could end from the industry's perspective. I believe you heard the other day from Tim Miller of Drive Oregon as well. Both of us encouraged the Dash 2 amendment, which would sunset this tax credit for electric vehicles when the market reaches 5.5% of new vehicle sales in Oregon. That is the Dash 2. The difference with the Dash 1 would end the sunset at 1% of total vehicles registered in Oregon. Those are the two options. The view of the industry was that the new sales of vehicles was a better indicator of the market movement.
Could you remind us of the numbers that are associated with those percentages, please?
Sure. You'll recall there is not exact clarity on new car sales in Oregon, but the thought would be that would be about 26,000 new cars sold in a year that were electric vehicles. There is, and someone other than myself may be in a better position to answer the questions on total registered vehicles, but the assumption by the industry is it's been in the range of 3 to 3.5 million, and so 1% would be 30,000 electric vehicles on the Dash 1.
I think I understood some of that, but not okay. All of it. So 26,000 new vehicles. Did you say a number of what the total number of new vehicles that sold is?
It would be speculation. That speculation based on number of years of cars typically in service is about 500,000 a year. That's what the industry is working off of, but I don't have a good citation for you for that.
500,000 per year new sales?
Right.
No need for a citation. I'm just trying to get an order of magnitude. And then 3.5 million cars in Oregon and 1% of that. Those were the other set of numbers. Okay. Got it. Discussion, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that sometimes in statute there are definitions in other places. Not knowing what the definition of vehicle is reminds me, well, I'm not going to go there. Depending on what the definition of vehicle is, does this really mean 5% of everything, including trucks and, cement mixer? Does that qualify as a vehicle? Is it 5% of everything that moves in that way? Or
my understanding, and someone better attuned to what the definition of vehicle is in statute may be better to answer that, but I think the intent was registered vehicles as an easy way to come up with a number, and whether cement trucks, I assume, are included in a registered vehicle, but I can't answer that definitively for you.
And it's also the case, if I'm remembering correctly, that the effect of either of these amendments would be to give an option, would be to sunset the credit if the threshold is reached prior to the date that is there. There's still a date sunset, so that remains operative. It's just that if the threshold is reached before that date, the credit would cease.
That's right.
Any further discussion? I don't see any. So we are ready, I think, to adopt either of the amendments. Representative Bentz?
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt House Bill, the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2524, and I moved the Dash 1s simply because, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure which ones this group wants. Dash 1 comes first, and that is the 1% of all motor vehicles registered in the state.
Thank you. Representative Bentz has moved the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2524. Is there discussion? Representative Widener.
Mr. Chair, are these going to end up, they're going to go to tax credits for review and everything? Because We've got a lot of Betsy's and a lot of different things going for renewable energy, so I get concerned sending too many, but as long as we have them going as a complete package with somebody, I can probably bring myself to supporting the one for, well, we're still picking a winner and loser with these individual tax credits like this, but supporting one of them to go to a different committee, I will support that.
Thank you. Representative Betts.
Mr. Chair, on reflection, if you bear with me, I think I just heard our witness say that he wanted the dash twos.
Yeah,
I probably should have moved the dash twos.
Okay.
And so why don't I amend my motion with your permission or to move the dash twos.
Representative Benz requests unanimous consent to amend his motion to move the dash two amendments. Is there objection to that amendment?
Not an objection, but a question.
Okay.
Sure.
So can we make that amendment first and then take the question?
The motion.
Yes, correct.
So is the motion to adopt the dash twos?
If we have your permission and not objection to that amendment to the motion, then the motion becomes the dash twos. That's correct.
Go ahead.
Okay. So without objection, the motion is amended to move the dash two amendments. Representative Lindsay.
Okay. So the question is, could you just make absolutely clear the difference between the dash one and the dash two?
Yes. The dash one amendment, both of these amendments seek to add an additional way that the credit would end before the sunset date. Sunset date remains in place, but in either case, there is a new threshold, if reached, that would end the sunset. In the case of the dash ones, it is 1% of all motor vehicles registered in the state. I'm reading from line 9 and line 10, were vehicles designed for electric plug-in charging. So that's 1% of the total. Dash twos are a different number and a different base, 5.5% of all new motor vehicles purchased in a year. So if either of those scenarios occurs before the date, the sunset date, then the credit ceases to exist. If you get to the sunset date, the credit ceases to exist unless a future legislature acts to extend it or change it in some way. Does that help?
Sure.
Is there further discussion? Representative Smith.
Do we have any rough hunch about the differing fiscal impact of a 1% versus a 5%?
I'm guessing that you're asking about the revenue impact rather than the fiscal
impact. We have revenue impacts on both of those in my stack somewhere?
Yes,
million.
We do.
3.1 million versus...
It's 17. It starts at 1.1.
I thought they were the same.
They look to me, Representative Smith, to be similar. Actually, I see the dash one. There we are.
Actually, we don't have the twos.
I do in front of me. In both cases, 12-13 is 1.1 million. And 11-13 is 1.1 million. 13-15 is 2.7 million. And 15-17 is 3.1 million. Both the dash one and the dash two. Further question?
Yeah, make a comment and then a question. So generally, I think that making Oregon a center of renewable vehicles and sort of smart vehicles is a really smart economic play. I want to make sure we do that in a fiscally responsible way. I'm inclined to support this either way. And I'm curious about the same revenue statement on both, unless what we're saying is that this isn't going to be the trigger anyway. What's really going to be the trigger is the date, because we're not likely to get to the 1% or the 5%. Is that their assumption?
I suspect that that's true, although, of course, I was not the author of the revenue impact statement.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Further discussion? So we now have the motion before us is still the dash two amendments. Is there any objection to that motion? I don't see any. The dash two amendments are adopted. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules. Yeah. Move again that we suspend the rules for because we do not yet have the
fiscal impact statement on the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Benz moves that we suspend the rules for the purposes of passing House Bill 2524 onto the Joint Tax Credit Committee without the fiscal impact statement on the dash two amendments. Is there any objection? I don't see any. Zach, do you have a comment?
I just want to make a comment that we do have permission on this one as well from both leadership offices. And if there is a fiscal statement on it, it will be reverted back to Ways and Means.
Thank you. So the rules have been suspended. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, move that House Bill 2524 as amended be moved to the Committee on Tax Credits with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved House Bill 2524 as amended to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Normally, I don't support picking winners and losers of industries, and I like to do things in a package. But this is something that's necessary. I have a bill that kind of resembles it in revenue right now to divest from Iran. This kind of goes into it because it's the oil that we're reliant on in the Middle East sometimes. It's basically we're supporting our enemies who are attacking us by buying oil from those countries, and this is one step to help us get off the dependence on the foreign oil. I would like it if we started drilling for some of our own oil here in our own country as well, though. So I will be supporting to send it there.
I appreciate that observation, Representative Widener, and agree with most of it. Thank you. Is there further discussion?
I object to the most comment.
Very good. With that, if there's no objection, we'll send on House Bill 2524 to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits with a due pass recommendation. Close the work session as amended with a due pass recommendation. Close the work session on House Bill 2524. Thank you, Mr. Bates. For just a moment. House Bill 2130, Zach.
House Bill 2130 modifies provisions regulating periodic review of comprehensive plans of and regional framework plans. We're looking at the Dash 8 amendment.
Thank you. And I'm guessing Mr. Indy's here. You could describe the Dash 8 amendments, please.
Thank you, Co-Chair Reed, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. The Dash 8 amendments primarily are intended to remove any hint of fiscal from judicial. I think you heard last time when we talked about this that there is a fiscal for the original bill, and we have worked several versions. The 8s essentially leave the appeals process, the expedited appeals process, alone as it is today, but they do make other technical amendments to the process for approving periodic review, in the manner of periodic review, large UGB amendments. We think those are worth moving the bill, notwithstanding the fact that we cannot come up with a way to pay for the expedited Court of Appeals review.
Thank you. Are there questions? Mr. Rindy. Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, just received the Dash 8s, haven't even had a chance to look at them. Just to make sure I understand, we are leaving the expedited process in place as it is. We are not lumping more burden on the appellate courts, correct?
Co-Chair Reed, Representative Lindsay, that's right. That is our intent. I think we have accomplished that. But that is what the Dash 8s do, is they leave the current process for appeals alone. So nothing changes.
Okay.
Follow up?
Just get on the record here. I haven't read the Dash 8s. I trust what you say are explicitly written in the Dash 8s, and for that I'll vote on the Dash 8s for that purpose alone. Again, my concern going into this entire thing was to overburden the appellate courts. Being an attorney, they're burdened heavily right now. And if we were to move some of this to them, then it slows down the entire system. And so I thank you for putting the Dash 8s to keep the expedited process in place, because delayed justice is injustice. And we need something that goes through quickly, and we need to leave the appellate courts alone to take care of those other more important things. So I'll vote for the Dash 8s on the assumption that what has been said is actually written in the Dash 8s. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could add one thing, thank you for that, because others also just saw these amendments, and I have agreed that is our intent. I believe that's what the amendments do. There are other features of this bill that are very complex, and we've got a series of emails in the last 2 days. I think we have agreement in principle that these amendments accomplish what we want. If there are some that are still looking at that explicitly and trying to make sure. So we are committing, as we did before, this is going to be a consensus bill. We will not move this bill forward without consensus. So if it turns out that inadvertently something about this isn't correct due to the last-minute nature, we will stop and fix that. We will get a consensus on this bill.
Okay. So, Zach, we do not have a fiscal on this at the moment. Is that correct?
No, but this is the last bill that we have permission on to move without a fiscal statement from both leaderships. It will get knocked down to Ways and Means if it does come up with a fiscal statement.
Okay.
Positive fiscal statement.
And we, in a statement or a question I might regret asking, we do have some folks here from the court. Would you like to be heard on the amendment? No, they're nodding no. So that suggests to me they're okay, at least at the moment. So we have the Dash 8 amendments before us. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the Dash 8 amendments dated April 19th, 2011.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves House Bill moves the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2130 dated April 19th, 2011. Is there discussion? See any? Is there any objection? Representative Widener, were you seeking
just
recognition?
Real quickly, I went through here, and I mean, everything looks good, and it sounds like from what we have out there, we should be good, but we do have the Senate. If anything does go awry with this, this is a bill that people will be screaming and letting us know. So probably would come back for concurrence if that puts any of my other members at ease. So on this one.
Any further discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the adoption of the Dash 8 amendments? I don't see any. The Dash 8 amendments are adopted. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2130 as amended.
Do we need to suspend the rules? First?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chair,
I move that we suspend the rules for purposes of allowing House Bill 2130 as amended move to the floor.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves to suspend the rules for the purposes of passing House Bill 2130 to the floor without the fiscal impact statement. Is there any objection to that motion? I don't see any. The rules are suspended. Representative Bentz.
Chair, move that House Bill 2130 as amended and be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves House Bill 2130 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Representative Lindsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting yes, reserving the right to vote no on the floor should something unintentional come up that we haven't seen yet.
Thank you. Further discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion? I don't see any. House Bill 2130 goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Now we need a carrier.
Unless there's a someone else.
Representative Lindsey volunteers to carry.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Close the work session.
Mr. Chair, if I may make a request. I kind of set an example how bills should be carried on the floor today. I'm kind of hoping you follow that lead.
I think of a solid snappy comeback.
Solid work.
Based on what else happened on the floor today. But, I second that request. And close the work session on House Bill 2130.
Down to the last two.
3613. And we have still open the public hearing on House Bill 3613. And Representative Benson, do you want to be on at the dais, or do you want to be up here?
I'll go to the dais. We bring up the director.
Bring whoever you would like with you, please.
The director and Mr. Hobson. Actually, the director and the two directors.
Okay. So we'll ask Director Koba and Director Peterson, if he's here, to join Representative Benson. There you are. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Cliff Bent, State Representative District 60, and House Bill 3613 is one of my bills. The concept underlying the bill is to clarify the state's water policy statutes so that they more consistently reflect, or I hope consistent is the right word, the Clean Water Act that all of the states must comply with. The bill was created as a result of some rulemaking efforts that the department has been working on for a number of years that impose a higher water quality standard across the state. And this is a necessary activity and a necessary set of rulemaking, but the consequences are going to be extraordinarily expensive for all Oregonians. This is not to say we should not comply with them. It's simply to say that we want to do so in a way that is clear and I hate to say obvious because I don't think anything in this particular set of rules is obvious, but we want to make it as clear as we possibly can. So this effort was driven, I'm sorry to say, in large part by attorneys working together to try to get the language right. And this took a series of meetings with folks working extremely hard to try to make what is a very, very complex set of rules more clear. And our hope is not to carve out exceptions here. Our hope is not to give anyone a better shake under these very challenging standards than anyone else. Our hope is to make the situation more clear. And I had conversations with the directors on this, with the governor's office, and this is an extraordinarily frightening set of standards for those who are out in my area, because the challenge of coming up with the money to try to comply with these things is great. The city should have, and I'm sure do, share the same concerns, because meeting these higher standards is going to be expensive. And the DEQ in its rulemaking and the commission in its rulemaking have recognized this and called out in their minutes and otherwise how extraordinarily expensive and absolutely damaging this could be to cities, farms, ranchers, all the folks across Oregon, unless great care is exercised in how these new standards are implemented. So the hope is that this particular piece of legislation will advance our effort to comply with these acts, not delay it, not impose winners, losers, but to advance our understanding, those of us out that have to comply with this law, of these standards. I have to tell you, there's an enormous amount of paranoia and fear that has to be overcome, and it's justified because the costs of compliance are enormous. I want to thank the directors for all of their really hard work and their incredible patience in working on this bill, and it's my hope that they can answer questions today that go to the heart of the matter, how we're going to move our our activities in the state forward in compliance with the Clean Water Act. With that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to return to the dais so that people that actually know about all of this can answer questions.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience, Director Coben, and welcome, Director Peterson. I'd love to hear from you both.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, Katie Coba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. With me is Director Peterson from DEQ, and I'm sure he will introduce himself at the appropriate time. We have already distributed to you a jointly signed letter from the two of us expressing our support for House Bill 3613, amended by the Dash 4 amendments, which hopefully you have in front of you now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining it, but certainly we're available to answer questions. The couple pieces that I did want to stress, as Co-Chair Benz indicated, the negotiations around the appropriate language were very tedious, and we had the lawyers from a couple of agricultural organizations, as well as our assistant AG for the Department of Agriculture, the assistant AG for DEQ, and the Department of Justice, as well as the governor's office in the room. The clear direction from the governor's office as we began these negotiations was that nothing could be done to the current statutes that would do anything to diminish DEQ or EQC's authority with water quality or do anything that would threaten their delegation of authority under the Clean Water Act or their ability to carry out the Clean Water Act. So there were pretty clear sideboards on the negotiations, and with that, the various attorneys did their work. The final Dash 4 amendments came to us yesterday morning, and you will hear some concerns from individuals that were not involved in the work group about not being involved in the work group and not understanding the language and concerned about the intent of the language. Their concerns are very legitimate, and we are sorry that we couldn't get this process done sooner so that we had a chance to convene all of those parties and sit down with the attorneys so that they could go through what the amendments do. We will commit to you that we will do that as soon as we possibly can, certainly if the bill moves out, and certainly before it is heard on the Senate side. From our perspective, the purpose of the bill was to clarify for particularly agricultural producers the relationship between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environmental Quality in administering the Ag Water Quality Act and its relationship to the water quality programs that DEQ administers. We think these amendments do that, and we are committed to working with all the interested parties who have concerns to walk through the amendments with them. With that, I think I'll pause and let Dick make a few comments.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Dick Peterson, Director of Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality. I won't repeat everything that Director Coba said, but I would like to say, acknowledging Co-Chair Bence's statement about the difficulty and challenges that were faced in meeting water quality standards and having everybody pulling in the same direction to do that is critically important. And I believe that this bill not only clarifies that, but keeps us in dialogue and keeps us moving in that direction. I think that's critically important. So DEQ does support House Bill 3613 with the Dash 4 amendments. As was said, the bill clarifies in statute the relationship between DEQ and ODA with regard to agricultural water quality. It clarifies and makes certain that ODA has a lead with respect to implementing controls on agricultural non-point source activities, and that DEQ will act on its own only when necessary to implement the Federal Clean Water Act, and ODA is unable or unwilling to act under their responsibilities. The bill does not change the established relationship between DEQ and ODA or between ODA and the agricultural community. And importantly, as was pointed out, the bill does not reduce the authority of the Department of Environmental Quality and the Environmental Quality Commission. So with that, I'll stop and certainly be willing to ask any answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Representative Nathan, then Representative Nathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for Mr. Peterson. I received a handout from an organization that is quite concerned about 3613, and I'm going to read a statement that doesn't seem in sync with things that Ms. Koba or you have said. Quote, House Bill 3613 would exempt agricultural and rural landowners from meeting state water quality standards, making it easier for the chemicals used on agricultural land to end up in Oregon's lakes, rivers, and streams. And when I saw the statement about exempting agriculture and rural landowners from state water quality standards, of course, that caught my attention. I was quite concerned. But can you help explain how much or whether all of that statement is accurate?
Sure. Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Nathanson, I actually don't agree with the statement because I believe that not only the Clean Water Act, but authorities under the Oregon Department of Agriculture's responsibility really make it clear that the Federal Clean Water Act and water quality standards have to be met within water. So I'm not sure the genesis of that, but certainly would be happy to clarify whoever's making that comment with them about their concerns.
Thank you.
Follow up, or okay. Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Vance talked about lawyers making a mess out of this, so I'd like to just quote from Shakespeare's Henry VI, Part 2, Act 4, quote, the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers, close quote.
Sounds like you've used that quote before.
Yes.
Okay. Is that
Representative Vance?
Do you have that prepared in an amendment form?
Dash five.
Chair Reed.
Representative White.
I think we would still have a quorum if we did that.
Pretty good.
Further discussion? Yeah. Representative Smith.
A couple of questions. So I've heard a couple different things. One, I've heard important bill. I've heard important bill to pass, and I've heard important bill to stop. I've also heard it doesn't change anything. So I'm trying to understand those three competing comments.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in fact accurate that the bill doesn't attempt to change anything? I'll start with that.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Smith, I think the primary purpose of the bill is to clarify roles and responsibility, which isn't real clear in existing statutes. When you have different statutes, and this one in particular does clarify for those that are concerned about who, in this case, the Oregon Department of Agriculture is the point person for the point agency for working with stakeholders and meeting water quality conditions on lands associated with agriculture. So I think that was one of the big concerns and one of the main objectives that was accomplished here. So from that perspective, I think it does help immensely in that clarification and understanding on how different sectors, in this case agriculture, is going to move forward with implementing water quality management plans and meet water quality standards through the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Follow up, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if it is sort of the intent to codify current practice or codify, you know, put in statute what is now either regulation or unregulated habit, then I guess my support or opposition would be dependent upon our evaluation of current regulation and unregulated habit. I have a little experience, not as much as I ought, but a little bit of experience with water law now. And I tried to do a little bit more and had my staff a little bit more. And as we started taking a look, you know, ORS 536.220 says H2O policy shall be carried out by a single state agency and must agree with goal 468B.155, which gives the role to the Water Resource Commission. ORS 468B.015, the policy of the state is to conserve water. And sub 3, no waste discharge without necessary treatment or other corrective action, references another statute, 468B048, the EQC has set standards under .015. The standards must be consistent with 536.220 at SEC, which then refers to 468B.155. The goal is to prevent contamination of ground H2O while groundwater, while striving to conserve and maintain the high quality of the resource. To me, our challenge is that water law in our state is a mess. The idea that we would codify our current, and I don't know that this that these entanglements are untangled by what I'm recently seeing is the dash fours, nor do they seem to be particularly untangled in the dash threes. For myself, codifying current regulation and habit might or might not be good. I am at this point unprepared to do it. I was going to have with a question, but I think the answer to whatever question the question I'd like to ask is, well, this clarifies it a little bit, and maybe it does. So maybe that's just a comment, but feel free to tell me why I'm wrong or how I should be thinking about it differently, because it seems to be a tangled mess that makes me concerned about, in short order, moving it along and, you know, ossifying it further.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Smith, and I'm sure my fellow director will jump in as well. If it makes you feel any more comfortable, all of the lawyers that worked on this language are in the room. We could probably spend hours getting their understanding of the statutes. I don't even memorize them or have them memorized as well as you do, but in the numbers that you read, I don't think are the statutes that we're even primarily dealing with right now, which also adds to the confusion. So our goal truly is to clarify the relationship between ODA and DEQ, and in the rulemaking that the EQC is currently undertaking, that relationship, because of language included in the rulemaking, began to be questioned by the agriculture community. Their sense was the rulemaking was an effort by the EQC and DEQ to take over the agricultural water quality program. That is clearly not the intent of the rulemaking. Director Peterson has indicated that in many public settings many times, but we finally got to the point where we thought if there is a possibility to help clarify that a bit in statute, it would make sense to do that, and that's what the attorneys attempted to do.
Final comment, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
So here's my hope. I, for what it's worth, have significant major questions. I hope we will have a conversation about, at least thinking about, maybe there's nothing to do, and both you guys have way more experience, intelligence, and, you know, and knowledge than I've got. But but rethink our tangled web of agencies. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll rethink it, and we'll say, "Oh, that's the best answer," and maybe otherwise. Because I know what happens, right? The ag community says we want everything to go through ag because we trust them, and the environmentalists say we want everything to go through DEQ because we trust them. And I don't know, forum shopping with agencies, which by then afterwards we create a set of regulations, a set of laws with that forum shopping in mind, is not compelling to me as a matter of policymaking, and I remain befuddled.
So one more comment, Co-Chair Reed, Representative Smith. I don't know if it helps you at all, but our two agencies, I often use the term, we're hooked at the hip when dealing with water quality. Mm-hmm. Our staff are constantly communicating. We are coordinating our efforts so that we're not being duplicative. We are making sure the work that we do complies with the Clean Water Act, which is delegated to DEQ. So from a programmatic standpoint, I would say things are going very well. The rulemaking has caused some major consternation out in farmer and rancher land, and so we thought this might be helpful in trying to calm that a bit and then continue working to deliver the programs that we're delivering so that we can improve water quality in the state.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Smith, I would echo that. I do absolutely appreciate your concerns, to Director Kova's point, I think the important thing, as I started out, is just to ensure that we continue to do the good work on the ground that's happening and support and do more of that if it's necessary and not just get locked up in who's in charge, who's not in charge, because there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of good work being done, and that's our commitment to keep moving that forward. And this, I believe, this clarity that's offered here will facilitate that.
Thanks.
Further questions, discussion? Don't see any. Thank you. Please stick around. I'm guessing there might be further questions for you. So next, I'd like to call up Joe Hobson, Patrick Capper, Allison Hensey, please. Is that right? I'll let you three decide the order in which you'd like to testify.
Where might start? It's on the left, anyway. Co-chairs Bence and Reed, members of the committee, Joe Hobson, and with some trepidation, announced that I am an attorney. Private practice. I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation in this matter. I'm really here in Katie Fast's place. She came down with some illness this morning, so she asked me to provide the testimony. Just wanted to make the point that Oregon Farm Bureau supports House Bill 3613 as amended by the proposed -4 amendments. In 1993, the Oregon Legislature passed the Agricultural Water Quality Management Act. It came to be known as Senate Bill 1010, which is the number of the bill in 1993. It was codified as ORS 568.900 to 568.933. And you'll hear people refer to it as 1010. It's the Agricultural Water Quality Management Planning Process that Director Koba was referring to and that Director Koba is in charge of. The purpose of this bill is to clarify that agricultural water quality management planning under that statute is the exclusive means for regulating non-point sources of pollution associated with agricultural activities on lands located outside of an urban growth boundary. Oregon can be proud of its leadership in agricultural non-point source regulation. This bill will help by making it clear which process is to be used when real regulation and enforcement is needed to achieve public goals in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hobson. Let's hear from the panel and then see if there are questions.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Capper with the Oregon Association of Nurseries. Appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of House Bill 3613. This bill will help to ensure that the Oregon Department of Agriculture can continue to administer Oregon's unique and successful agriculture water quality program. Senate Bill 1010, as referenced earlier, directed ODA to establish watershed-based plans to manage water quality on a local basis with the involvement of the people who know the land the best and the water the best, local farmers. Our members utilize a number of voluntary best practice or best management practices to address the water quality concerns on their farms and in their individual watersheds. It is unlikely that these practices could have been developed under a traditional top-down, one-size-fits-all regulatory program. Instead, working together with ODA, the agricultural community has successfully developed locally tailored approaches to water quality management that have achieved real results. House Bill 3613 would update and clarify the statutory language implementing the Agricultural Water Quality Management Act and reinforce the Department of Agriculture's responsibility for and jurisdiction over agricultural practices and agricultural water quality management. We were not part of the work group that was discussed earlier, but we believe it was a good faith effort, and we fully support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Sensei.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Benson Reed, members of the committee. My name is Allison Hensey. I'm with the Oregon Environmental Council, and unfortunately, the Oregon Environmental Council has to oppose this bill at this time. Because we believe it weakens protection of Oregon's surface and groundwater in the state. I should say that I am very much in favor of and supportive of the Oregon Department of Agriculture being the lead in administering the Agricultural Water Quality Management Program, and I think that they have a very positive working relationship with the Department of Environmental Quality. And I'm in support of clarifying their roles and responsibilities for this program. However, I think this bill goes further than that and has the potential to significantly weaken protection of Oregon's waters. Our concerns center on two specific provisions. One is in Section 2.2, which takes a water quality standard from a provision of the Clean Water Act, which says that water quality standards shall be met to the maximum extent practicable, and puts it unnecessarily into state law, where it would not only apply to programs that implement the Clean Water Act, but to other state water quality protection programs. So it's broadening the impact of that phrase and weakening our other water quality protection laws in this state, which include protection of our groundwater, where a lot of Oregon citizens get their drinking water, as well as our coastal zone management protections and our general prohibition against polluting the waters of the state in state law. We would like to see that phrase, to the maximum extent practicable, removed from the bill. Or we would also be happy to talk about having that be defined in some way. Right now, that phrase is completely undefined in state, federal, or case law. And so we would be putting an incredibly vague and undefined provision into a critical program that is essential for protecting the quality of the waters of our state. Our other concern is that, probably unintentionally actually, the language of this bill changes the authority of ODA's water quality program from overall pollution that comes from agricultural activities to just regulating non-point source pollution. I would be afraid that that would mean that ODA could not then talk to somebody who has a hobby horse farm, which would be a point source, or somebody who has pollution coming out of a pipe on agricultural lands that are not permitted by DEQ but are still point sources. So we would need to see that provision changed as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Any questions? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Oregon Environmental Council, I missed your name, or well,
I'm Allison Hensley.
Allison.
Yes, thank you.
Real quick, because you guys are very involved with this. Who are probably our biggest polluters if you were to pick someone out in the state today? Would it be wastewater treatment plants? I mean, the single, if you had to pick a single point or an industry, where would it be?
We all share responsibility, but right now our biggest water quality problem is non-point source pollution, and agriculture is a significant part of that. So, for instance, water quality monitoring in the state has shown that our waters violate Safe Drinking Water Act standards and aquatic life standards, and part of that is pesticides and fertilizers and other toxics that run off of soil from farmland, from urban areas, from forest lands. So this is a really important program to protecting our water quality. It will have a significant impact.
Can I follow up?
Quickly, please.
Do we run into much with cities, with runoff, with the streets,
absolutely,
sewer? So I could see that being a huge issue with driveways and everything else.
I would say that urban non-point source pollution is either a close second or on par with agricultural non-point source pollution. So I don't want to point the fingers just at the agricultural community, but they're a really important part of the solution, and we need this to be a strong program.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you very much. We have a few more to testify, and given the hour, I'm going to ask to be fairly quick on this. So Sue Marshall, Thomas Benke, maybe? Hopefully I got that right. Jerry Nicholson, hopefully I got that right. While you're getting settled, let me say also that on deck, Chris Fick and Terry Witt. I'm going to ask each of you if you could keep it to 1 minute, given the time and a little more we have to do yet, please.
Great.
Ms. Marshall.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is...
Excuse me just a moment, Representative Lindsay.
I just want to note as well, we have a representative here.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Sue Marshall. I'm here today on behalf of Tualatin Riverkeepers and the Willamette Riverkeeper. We very much appreciate your raising the issue of non-point source pollution. It is really a very difficult, complex issue that needs to be addressed if we expect to move forward in cleaning up our rivers. Given that this is a deadline to hear bills in the first chamber, we really think that given the complexity, it would be well worth worthwhile to have an interim look at the question and issue of non-point source pollution. We are concerned about this bill in that we're not really sure that there's been an adequate evaluation of the delegations, both to forestry and as things have been operating with ag to date. The Clean Water Act, as it's implemented through Department of Environmental Quality, is an iterative process, and it should change and adapt over time. There just haven't been enough resources, both with ag and forestry, to address those problems. So I guess I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Ms. Marshall. Mr. Behnke, did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name's Thomas Behnke. I am an environmental attorney fighting anarchy wherever I can find it. And I also happen to have represented for many years the Hayes Oyster Company in Tillamook Bay. And I recognize that my perspective is really very narrow because I don't do a lot of water quality work, although I'm very, very familiar with what's going on in Tillamook Bay. And I'm just here to make a couple of technical points about the bill, but also to just point out to this panel that the regulatory regime under what we've been referring to as Senate Bill 1010 isn't working in Tillamook. And I don't think that's working very well elsewhere, and I'm very concerned about going more down that road. The one of the exhibits that I've handed you is basically shows you how much the bay is closed to oyster harvesting during the fall, and this is also representative of the early spring.
And Mr. Behnke, your time has elapsed. If you could just quickly hit the highlights or wrap up quickly, I'd appreciate it. I can give you just a few more seconds if you want to give any quick closing comment.
Yes. The bill amendments anticipate a lot of my concerns about meeting the delegation from the USCPA, particularly with respect to TMDLs. I don't think that the agencies have adequately looked at whether or not this is going to jeopardize the delegation. I think that to the maximum extent practical language is in direct derogation of the memorandum of agreement with USCPA. I also want this committee to know that because of the TMDLs that have been implemented since Senate Bill 1010, the whole permitting environment has changed. TMDLs is the maximum amount of pollution, please, I'll wrap it up soon, that a receiving stream can bear. And it is now a zero-sum game. So without an affirmative, aggressive regulatory enforcement mechanism for agricultural non-point source pollution, this state runs the risk of limiting growth with respect to all point source polluters because there cannot be any increases in point source discharges in segments that are water quality impaired.
Thank you, Mr. Behnke.
Thank you.
Mr. Nicholson.
Co-Chair Reed, Co-Chair Benz, my name for the record is Jerry Nicolescu.
I'm sorry, it's hard to read.
And it's hard to pronounce.
I might have done better if I'd read the U as it was instead of, it looks a little bit like an N, sorry.
Anyway, for the record, my name is Jerry Nicolescu. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts. The Oregon Association of Conservation Districts is in support of House Bill 3613 with the -4 amendments. House Bill 3613-4 provides clarity and assurance that the programs, plans, and rules ODA develops and adopts will be the primary guidance to landowners and managers when addressing non-point sources of pollution associated with agricultural activities on ag lands. The language provides clear delineations concerning the roles and responsibilities of ODA and DEQ in addressing agricultural non-point source pollution. The association urges your careful consideration of passage of this bill.
Thank you very much for summarizing your written testimony. I'll note for the committee that we have it as well so we can review it in more detail if we want. Any quick questions for this panel? Don't see it. Thank you very much. So we have Chris Fick and Terry Witt, please.
Maybe
Very briefly, chairs and members of the committee, my name is Terry Witt, Executive Director of Oregonians for Food and Shelter. We were party to the original drafting of Senate Bill 1010 back in 1994, and although I just saw the -4 amendments about an hour and a half ago, we do support House Bill 3613 with the -4 amendments. We believe it not only follows the spirit of the original bill, but it also is helps clarify the intent, and we would urge your support.
Thank you, Mr. Fick.
Good afternoon, Chris Fick with the League of Oregon Cities. The League has major concerns about this bill before you today. Like others, our concerns involve the use of the term maximum extent practicable. Oregon has consistently held a higher standard when it comes to water quality standards. While this is the baseline for the Clean Water Act, we think that Oregon needs to continue to maintain a higher standard. As has been mentioned before, Oregon is in the process of adopting what will be the most stringent water quality standards in the country, freeing agriculture from similar requirements to make reductions in their contributions to pollution in our waterways will result in cities having to bear the burden and other point sources such as industry having to bear the burdens of cleanup. We think that if we do move to a definition of maximum extent practicable, benchmarks should be set towards meeting TMDL loads, required monitoring and annual reporting from ODA. We understand this is a huge issue amongst agricultural communities, but we also don't want to be put in a situation where we're trying to reduce pollution more to the extent that we're contributing to the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Any quick questions for this panel? I don't see any. Thank you very much. That completes the list of people who have signed up to testify on House Bill 3613. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard very briefly on House Bill 3613? I don't see any. With that, we will close public hearing on House Bill 3613. And are you ready, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And I'll open the work session on House Bill 3613. Representative Benz.
Chair, I move to adopt the -4 amendments dated April 19th.
Thank you. Representative Benz moved to adopt the -4 amendments to House Bill 3613 dated April 19th, 2011. Is there a discussion? I don't see any. Is there objection?
I might as well object.
Okay. I'd like a roll call vote, please.
Representative Benz?
Yes.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No. There's a no.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
Yes.
Chair Benz?
Yes.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. The -4 amendments to House Bill 3613 are adopted. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3613 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Do we have all the required paperwork?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. House Bill 3613 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation by Representative Benz. Is there discussion? I don't see any. I will say for myself that this has been something of an interesting education for me, and I'm well aware of the fact that my co-chair is not only the co-chair here, but a former chair of the Water Resource Commission. So it's a difficult thing for me at least to think that I might know as much as he does on this topic, and it's an enormously complicated subject. I have significant reservations and great sympathy for the testimony that's been given on both sides, but I am persuaded by the directors of both departments and trust that they will stick to the intent that I think is clear in the testimony before this committee and the interest of this committee and legislature to implement the laws and regulations to protect the interests of Oregonians. And I'll be supporting the motion with something less than great enthusiasm, some trepidation, perhaps. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I've offered my concerns about the bill. I won't delve there further. I do hope that going forward. What was that? It was like the old guys from the Muppets.
Not just Representative Schaffler.
That I do hope as we look to reform Oregon's water law, which I think is a very noble objective, not one for those who pursue glory and thanks, but important, that we will work really hard to do it in a consensus way. And one definition of consensus is DEQ and ag agrees. That is south of my definition of consensus. And I think we've got to figure out a way so that ag can work, so the environment can work, and so that fiscal responsibility can work. And any significant move we make on water policy that doesn't take each of those in a significant account is tricky, and tricky for me. And I hope that we will work hard in the future on that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For much of what you said, I would just say ditto. Much of my support for this is derived from the departments all agreeing that, or appearing to all agree that this is a clarification, not a change in what we're trying to do, but a clarification of roles and responsibilities, and that is sorely needed. And so I'm keeping them at their word. I am somewhat concerned about a few of the things that have been raised today. We haven't had this to work with for a long time, this amendment, and to understand. But again, I'm going to take the departments at their word for what the intent is. And if there's some other language modification that needs to happen, maybe it will be revealed in the future and taken care of at some other point in the process.
Thank you. Further discussion?
I apologize, Mr. Chair. One very short thing.
Very short.
I also think we got to be doing our water bills in the Water Committee. And this is, I mean, this is an important area of you know, where even a little bit expertise helps a little bit. And we ought to be doing our water bills in the Water Committee.
Representative Smith, I'd suggest you take that concern to those who referred the bills.
It's a good suggestion.
That's not me.
Oh, I know.
Further discussion? Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Representative Lindsay?
Yes.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
Yes.
Chair Band?
Yes.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. House Bill 3613 heads to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Benz, I'm assuming you might like to carry.
I would, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Benz will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3613. And mm-hmm. And open the work session on House Bill 3225. Zach.
House Bill 3225 specifies conditions under which new or extended city street or county road may be developed on land designated as an urban reserve.
Thank you. Representative Parrish, thank you for your patience. I think we have three amendments in front of us. If you could describe those, please.
I can, and I would just like to say thank you. I think standing for 2 hours, I actually got more work done in that 2 hours than I have at any other time sitting at my desk this session, so I'm appreciative, and thank goodness for smartphones. Somehow, the dash one and the dash two are exactly the same, and I don't know how that happened. But they are word-for-word identical, so we can pick and choose which one you do and don't need. I feel kind of like a brunette Goldilocks. We started out, the bill was too big, then it got too small, now it's just right. And I do feel that, by and large, all parties have been pretty much satisfied. If it needs any further work, we can certainly work on that. Senator Devlin is a sponsor on the other side, and we can certainly work on that and get anything else that happens to crop up between now and the time the Senate hears it and get that resolved over on that side. So, again, this is a bill that's about roads, small roads, not that big of a road, but a road that behind that is a lot of acres that are already zoned industrial that will, if we can just get to yes, and if we can, understand that yes, this could be put off for another time, but you've got communities who are ready to go right now to try to solve the money problem, but they can't even engage in a conversation about how much is the road going to cost until we somehow get to yes. So it's something I'm committed to working on all summer with those committees or communities. If I've got to go and chase Congressman Wu for a little bit of money, we will certainly work on that. But again, we can't even know what the road's going to cost until we get to yes. So this is a starting point. These communities have been working together for years to get this done and solved. It's been in the planning for just, probably since I was in college. And it's time to, get to yes and get these folks on the way so we can actually create jobs and start to use that land behind effectively and make livable cities and communities. So my suggestion would be pick the dash one or dash two. Doesn't matter. They're still the same. You got the fiscals on both. And the dash three is the one that just deletes the word only.
Thank you. Is there discussion? I do want to note the committee is just receiving, and literally we've just received it, so there's no gotcha moment here. A memo from the director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Hopefully someone could bring you a copy as well.
Great.
That has some comments on the bill. In general, say for myself, my reluctance and concern about the bill is one, whether it's needed, given testimony that we heard in our initial hearing from Metro about their interest in I think solving the issue without action by the legislature. So there's the sort of philosophical question of whether it's appropriate for the legislature to intervene in a local process if we have reasonable assurance that that's proceeding. Second, which I think you alluded to a certain extent with your Goldilocks comment, have we struck the right balance of defining it in the appropriate way so that it's not opening a door we don't intend to open, but also not keeping a door closed that might need to be open at a future date? So could you comment on some of those things, please?
Well, I think the comment that we heard early on after the first hearing was that the word only on page 1 of the printed bill, line 10, that was the hang-up of whether or not it's too big or too small or whether or not anybody else could do that. So by taking that word out, I think we've solved that problem. I guess my big concern is, you know, yes, does the legislature get in there and intervene? When you've got cities who've been trying to do this for years and they're waiting between two agencies, at what point have they waited enough? At what point do we make them and we kick the can down the road another year? Because if we get to yes right now and we find out that there is a hang-up that would cause these communities to not be able to go and raise the funds, I'd like to be able to solve that in the February session. And to the extent that we would bring this bill back in the same form in February, if we wait another chunk of change time, we don't know what the February session looks like yet. I have yet to hear from, you know, leadership how many bills we get to introduce, if members get to introduce bills, if they're only going to be committee bills. I have no assurance of what February looks like right now, so I'm not really comfortable waiting until February to solve the problem. Again, when you've got two agencies that can't get it squared away, whatever their issue is, but you've got four communities, we hear a lot in this body about local control and that we value local control and we value whether it's a school district or a city council or a water board or whoever. This honors that. This honors that by saying, you know what, we're going to go ahead and give you the control, and if the other agencies can solve their problems for all the other communities in the state, great. But this body also has a lot of history of carve-outs and small little projects and pilot projects for, you know, one little town or one little community. This is no different than that. If you want to look at it as kind of the purest sense of the word, I'm pretty sure we did that in the last session on a couple bills I can point to. So it solves a problem right now, and if our true problem in the state is to solve jobs, is to put people back to work in the private sector, which would certainly balance out our budget a little bit, then this bill gets us there.
Thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's fine. I know we're really close to time.
Yeah. So are there other questions for Representative Parrish? I don't see any. We're in work session. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move the -2 amendments to House Bill 3225 dated 4/1/11.
Thank you. Representative Benz moves -2 amendments to House Bill 3225, dated April 1st, 2011. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Representative White, Representative Sheen, the motion on the -2 amendments to House Bill 3225. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
This is to move the amendment or to move the bill?
To move the -2 amendments. Seeing no objection, the -2 amendments are adopted. Representative Benz.
Chair, I move the -3 amendments to House Bill 3225, dated 4/15/11.
Thank you. Representative Benz moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 3225, dated April 15th, 2011. Is there discussion? Any objection? I don't see any. The -3 amendments are adopted. House Bill 3225. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3225 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz moves House Bill 3225 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Yeah,
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I was in a similar situation where local, not a road thing, but a transportation thing, where local authorities were not doing everything I would like and brought a bill. And because of the bill, they prodded them a little bit. I set aside the bill, and I'm waiting till February. Given the testimony we had before and not
wanting, and by the way, I was one of your few Democratic no votes, yes votes on your bill this, you know, earlier today, but without wanting to bum anybody out, my intent would be not to support this one and hope that they would get their act together, and then if they don't, you still have sort of the sword of Damocles resting above them of a February bill, and that would be my hope. I worry about getting into setting this precedent of doing land use this way, as I shared with you otherwise, but just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Beyer?
Thank you.
I can tell if you're seeking recognition or scratching your nose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's always uncomfortable to have a bill in front of us that kind of gets itself involved in local government. But me, from past history, it's a little hard for me to be too critical of that because I've had some experience at that. I think the reason I think I'm going to support this is the a phrase in here that says that current rules already allow the county and cities to conceptually plan for this connecting road. And not really having an idea of what conceptually plan means and whether that carries any weight, I think I'm going to go ahead and support this now.
Thank you.
And then maybe I'll find out I don't need
it. That would certainly be my hope as well. Further discussion? Let me just say for myself, I think I've kind of summarized my concerns about the bill. It is my hope that if we pass the bill, it will soon become moot and unnecessary. I continue to have the concerns about whether it's appropriate for us to intervene in a case where we have some expectation that things are moving forward without our intervention, and whether we've appropriately defined things. If the bill moves forward, it can certainly those discussions can certainly continue in the Senate, and perhaps the action, if that does occur, will give some indication to Metro and others that we'd like to see things move forward. So I do have trepidation on this one as well. Representative Nathanson, were you going to make a comment?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will likely vote yes for this in a few moments, but if I vote yes, I would like the committee to note that I'm not sure how I will vote on the floor. I think I need to think about it for another few days. I don't want to make a statement that's basically going to goof up land use planning statewide. But then again, I think sometimes we also through our actions send a signal to a department that when you let something fester, not only for months but years, this is what happens, and we need to take care of business.
Thank you. Other comments? I think we'd better have a roll call vote, please.
Representative Lindsay?
Yes.
Representative
Nathanson? Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
Yes.
Chair Van?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion, having received the required majority, is declared passed. House Bill 3225, as amended, goes to floor with a due pass recommendation.
Appreciate it. For all your help.
I'm assuming you'd like to carry it?
I will carry it. Absolutely. Thank you.
Senator Parrish will carry the bill. And we'll close work session on House Bill 3225.
Thanks for buying me the time.
Okay. We'll open the work session on House Bill 3458. Representative Matthews and Representative Johnson, you have a very limited time given that Representative Greenlick is feeling especially friendly, but he's entering the room now, so we don't have long.
Thank you, Chair Reed, Co-Chair Benson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Greg Matthews, State Representative, House District 50, the great city of Gresham. Here today with House Bill 3458. And perhaps before you might have the dash ones, the dash twos, and the dash threes, but rather than talk about the bill, I want to just talk about the process that we've gone through so far. And because I think it's important. There's been four sessions, I believe, thus far that have tried to tackle this issue. And in my opinion, it's an issue of fairness to the consumer and to the citizen. Unfortunately, we don't have a consensus of the stakeholders involved, so we're not asking a great deal from the committee to put your neck out on this, because that wouldn't be fair either. But what I do want to say is we're talking about, at its basic form, inline backflow filter replacements and repair On one and two family residential dwellings. That's what we're looking at doing. To put it in simplest form, if I were to call a sprinkler tester to come out, backflow tester, and they test my my backflow and they determine a leak, perhaps at the filter, they can't repair that. They have to call a licensed plumber. Licensed plumber comes out, he repairs it. He can't test that. He's got to call a sprinkler tester. He comes back out. That's three visits of people. We called, with Representative Johnson and myself, we called a group of the stakeholders, about 15 people in the room. We heard from everybody. In fact, one guy who was the most, I think, effective at what he said is he says, yeah, he feels bad for the people that have to do it this way. Quite honestly, I think we should be able to get to a way, and I'm hoping that February is the time we do. I wanted it to be today, but we're not there. But quite honestly, we should get to a point where there's just a one-stop shop on that particular call, one and two family dwellings. So in the interest of time, Mr. Chair, again, I really appreciate the committee sticking around to hear this bill. Thank you, because I know you all have places to be, but we appreciate this, and it's an important issue to citizens. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Matthews. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Mark Johnson, House of Representatives, District Number 52, Hood River and Mount Hood and the Columbia River Gorge. It's been a pleasure to work with Representative Matthews on this. It's been a frustrating endeavor, however, working with some of the stakeholders on this. I will just put that on the record. It's been difficult to get folks together, but my main issue for wanting to, my main motivation for wanting to be a part of this is it's a very simple issue, and it's also a public health issue. The law mandates that inspections be done on backflow testing devices very regularly. I think it's annually. If those tests are not done, the potential harm that is available to the public could be significant. We're talking about potable water, water from within a dwelling, within a maybe it's a commercial establishment, potentially backflowing into a municipal supply that could prevent or could provide all kinds of social ill, whatever that could be. But the problem is, we've had a difficult situation allowing or marking out the turf, if you will. Who has jurisdiction over what? That really is the basic issue here. It's a simple problem. All they're asking for is inline repairs, is all the inspectors are asking for, is the time that they come out and certify these devices. They get the check off, the green seal saying, yes, they're working. If they're not working, that they can make those repairs right there. They're not talking about making any repairs to the actual plumbing. They're just talking about trying to repair the device, which oftentimes only involves removing a pebble, a little bit of grit. That's all usually that keeps these things from functioning properly. So it's not a big deal, if you will, but it's been a big deal to get the stakeholders together to agree on a solution. I think it can happen. I think they're very, very close. Whether it happens in February, whether this bill gets referred to rules and they do it over the next few weeks, that's a possibility as well. But my concern is for the homeowner, the property owner, but also for the greater public health issue here that's not being dealt with. So I would urge you to put some pressure on the stakeholders to reach some resolution on this, because a solution's not very far away. Thank you.
Thank you both.
And, Mr. Chair, briefly, thank you. I just want to say in defense of some of the stakeholders, too, one of the concerns is, of course, the economy and the market and jobs right now. And this is a work issue where it's somebody's turf, and we're looking at shifting that. And so, in their defense, they're very cautious to make an agreement to that, because this could open the door completely to allow, you know, greater encroachment. So I think we're going to be able to get there. In fact, I'm confident we will. I think the group's committed to getting there. I just don't think we have that before you today.
Thank you, Representative Matthews. Thank you, Representative Johnson. We appreciate you giving us the update. I can say we're certainly hopeful that your continued work will bring us a resolution very soon. That will close the work session on House Bill 3458 and open one more work session. It's on Zach's birthday. Representative Vance, did you have a motion?
Move that he, is there a cake?
There is.
We sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zach. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And with that, the committee will be adjourned.
Mr. Chair, I know our backflow tester, Sandy, was keeping Representative Greenlick at bay.
Good point. So we were at bay. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Chair Greenlick. Committee's adjourned.
Thank you.